Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 tonight. And Kayla and I are very excited to finally be here. And even though we're still getting settled in and we were able to get into our apartment on Thursday after a few days of having to wait in between, but we are so thankful and excited. And thank you for your love and welcoming us as a part of your family. And we already feel at home because when you're with family, you're at home. And so we're so excited to be here and so thankful to be here for the youth night. And all the kids did a great job, and the teens as well. And his robes for mine. And we'll talk about an extreme makeover. And when we made that exchange, we started talking different and looking different and acting different. And not because we're weird like me, but just because of what Jesus Christ did in our lives. And so thankful for that exchange that was made. And what a wonderful truth in that song. But tonight we'll be in Isaiah 40, and I asked Pastor, because as the linger longer after the service, does that count for the preaching as well? And he said no. And so I know how that goes. And when we first talked as we were praying before all this happened, he said that people joked that his last name was a reference to his preaching with Pastor Long. So I'll let you draw your own conclusions with Ham as my last name on that. So I've heard all the jokes you can give for that name, so nothing will faze me. But if you come up with something new, I'll be pretty impressed, though. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counting to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold him who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's pray before we jump in there. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in your house on a Sunday evening and hear these young people quote the word of God and sing praises to your name and what an encouragement it is to our lives. And Lord, I ask that you'd help them as the devil would do anything he could to keep them from serving you with their lives. And Lord, as a church family, we will encourage them and that we will continue teaching and training them to prepare them for life to be able to serve you with their lives. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and your unlimited blessings that we can never number. And God, we thank you again for the privilege that we have and ask that you speak to us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of us probably could quote Isaiah 40:31 in our sleep, and you see it on a lot of wall hangers and things like that, and it's a very familiar verse to many people, but it's a very difficult verse to live out many times, because waiting is very hard. And there was a story told of a young father-to-be who was pacing back and forth very nervously and just wringing his hands in the hospital as he's waiting for his wife to give birth. And finally, the nurse opened the door and said, "Well, sir, looks like you have a little girl." And he heaved a huge sigh of relief and said, "I'm so glad it's a girl. She'll never have to go through the agony that I went through tonight." And all the ladies in here say, "Nope, that's not how it works." But waiting can be a very difficult thing, but the best things in life, though, are worth waiting for. And we're getting ready for a road trip or vacation, and, you know, counting down the days, or waiting to meet the right spouse, or waiting for the right position at work, or things like that. And the best things in life are worth waiting for. But there are some things in life that are hard to wait for. Sometimes getting a response from the doctor can be a difficult time to wait for the answer. Waiting as you're going through a difficulty or a storm of life. Waiting to for an answer to a prayer request that you've been praying for months, maybe years, looking for a specific thing that the Lord needs to do. Waiting for a direction from the Lord for a major life decision. And we've been going through that the last few months, and so we're excited to finally be here and be on the other side of that. But as we go through really any time of life, but especially those times as we are waiting for an answer, waiting for a direction, it's so critical to learn how to wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And a lot of people have the wrong idea of what this word wait is talking about. It's not just, you know, sitting back, you know, checking Facebook. Waiting is the idea of doing something with expectancy. It's not just sitting around, but it's being busy doing what you know to do while waiting for the next step. And a lot of people think, you know, just, "Well, I'm waiting on God," and they're not doing anything. God says waiting is doing what we know to do and letting him lead for those next steps down the road. Just like when you're at a restaurant, you have a waiter, and they're not doing nothing. Sometimes it may seem like they are, but they're waiting for the right time to refresh your drink. And when they do a good job, then normally the tip goes up or things like that. But as we're waiting on the Lord, it means we're active, as we're serving him. And we may not know the full scope of the rest of our life, because if we did, we'd probably be too scared to keep going and doing it. But waiting and just doing what we know to do, and looking expectantly, saying, "Okay, God, what's next? Okay, God, is something new today? God has the plans to change. There's things going on." And a lot of times, nope, just keep doing what you know to do. But waiting can be very difficult. And Isaiah here in this chapter gives kind of a how-to and how to think as we're waiting on the Lord. And he gives us kind of some instruction with it and how we're supposed to do that. And some things to remember as we go through times of waiting, which is really a lot of time of our life. Things to remember. We'll look at those real quickly tonight. The first thing to remember as we're waiting is remember that God has no limits. God has no limits. And my wife and I, we've been watching some of the Winter Olympics, and we never get exciting about speed skating or all these other things except for every 4 years, you know. And then in the Summer Olympics, you know, I never watched swimming the other time, but, you know, USA's on. We got to cheer for USA. These people, I'll never hear their names again, but we got to cheer them on, you know. And these guys can do some incredible athletic feats. I looked up a while back the Guinness Book of Records. The most push-ups someone has done in an hour on record is 2,220. I'm doing good to get 20 most of the time. But in 1 hour, someone did over 2,000. The world sit-up record is 2,600 sit-ups in an hour. The bench press mark is 1,075 pounds for a bench press. And my dad likes to work out, and he would always take me to the gym and just wear me down. And a lot of people can do some incredible physical feats, but there's no one can do anything like our God can do. And there is no limit to what God can do. And as you look at this chapter, it asks a lot of questions. And normally in school, that's not a good thing when the teacher starts asking you a lot of questions and you don't know the answer to about everything that they're asking. You know you're in trouble. And he starts giving them questions here that the answer is a rhetorical question. There's no really answer to it other than we know that is only what God can do. And he starts going through this verse by verse. Verse 12, he talks about his power. He says, hey, can anyone else hold all the waters of the earth in the tiniest crevice of their hands? No, I don't think so. I've never met anyone else that could do that. Can anyone else palm the entire universe with their hand? I can't even palm a basketball, and much less the entire universe. God says, it's all right here in my hands. Can anyone else measure the entire dust of the earth like we would measure a cup of flour? Imagine all the dust and sand, everything that's all over. God says, yeah, just do it like that, and I can count all of it just right there. Can anyone else weigh the mountains like we would weigh something on a scale? And I remember we went on a mission trip a year and a half or so ago to Sri Lanka, and we had to, you know, overseas flights especially, you have to weigh your luggage and make sure that you're not overweight because it hits you with these crazy fees. If you've ever, you know, got hit with an overweight fee, you know what I'm talking about. And so we're like standing on the scale and then standing off trying to, you know, weigh our bags and figure out if we're overweight or not. God says, I can weigh the mountains in my hands. He said, it's no big deal. And the power that God's had is unlimited. And what comfort that is to us when we go through trials and difficulties. We don't know how something's going to happen. God says, I can do it with a snap of my finger and take care of it. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mind. He said, there's nothing that is outside of my control. Verse 13 and 14, he talks about his wisdom. And he says, who has the wisdom to teach me as God what to do? He said, who is qualified, you know, to be my counselor and to give me advice? And you've probably been like me many times. We try to give God advice. Well, God, it'd be really great if you could handle this situation this way. Instead of saying, praying, God, your will be done. And a lot of times God's ways are above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. And yet we're like, be like a little child trying to instruct, you know, the professors over at one of the colleges here in town of how to do something in their specific field. And when we try to, you know, tell God how something should be done. And he says, who taught me how to set up and to order and to judge all of creation? And he reemphasized it again in verse 13. But God says, I have all the wisdom. And yet James says, if any man lack wisdom, which I fit in that category, says, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not, and giveth all men liberally. God says, hey, you need wisdom for this problem. You need wisdom to handle this situation. You need wisdom to handle your child or teenager or whatever's going on. He says, just ask me. I've got all the wisdom and more that you need, and I'm not going to hold it back. And I'm so glad that God is generous with us. He gives us far beyond what we could ever deserve in any way, his wisdom. Verse 15 and 7 through 17 talks about God's overall supremeness. And I love here, many people probably don't know that this phrase is a biblical phrase, but a drop in the bucket. He says all the nations of the world, every person from every nation that's past, present, and future is just a drop in the bucket to what God has. He says the islands of the world are just like dust that can be swept away. Think about an island like Greenland that's a little bit big and things like that. God says, I can just brush it away like that and take care of it. All of the forests of Lebanon would not be big enough to make a fire big enough for an offering truly worthy of God. And Lebanon, those trees there were 130 feet tall and up to 8 feet in diameter. These were not, you know, like little tiny trees. These are huge, incredible trees that were world renowned in those days especially. People would come all over the world to get that lumber from there. And God says, then all those forests wouldn't be enough for a sacrifice worthy of me. All the animals of that forest wouldn't be enough for a sacrifice. And I'm glad that there's only one amount of wood and only one amount of flesh that was enough of a sacrifice when Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. And as pastors this morning, as we've been going through the book of Galatians, and what a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ did for us in that sacrifice. And God says, you could take all the stuff in the world, it wouldn't be enough to truly be worthy of the sacrifice. Then in verse 17, it says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. And it's funny, all the nations of the world throughout history are jockeying and jostling for power. And you think about some of the greatest and largest world nations of the history of the world. Think of Babylon and the Medo-Persian and Greece and Rome to the British Empire. They said the sun didn't set on the British Empire years and years ago. And in countries like Germany and even America, God says it doesn't even register in my scale. He says, actually, it's negative on my scale. It's less than nothing. And anytime that we think we have something special, God says, no. He says, it's all about me. He says, I'm the one that's supreme over everything. He turned one of the greatest world rulers of the history of mankind, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, into a bird-like creature for 7 years because he had pride in his heart and thought he was something special. And God says, no, I'm the one that's in charge. He says, I'm the one that's over everything. King Herod, when he gave that great speech in the book of Acts, and And the people said, oh, he's like unto a god. And he thought it in his heart, and God smote him with worms and ate him from the inside out. And what a way to go. And but just God showing, I'm the one that's above all. And he's the one that's worthy of our praise and of our glory. And though he sees nations as a whole as less than nothing, he saw us valuable enough to die for. Amen. And he loves us personally. And he has a relationship with us, that he is not someone that we cannot approach, but he says that we can come boldly to his throne as children, crying out to their father in need. And the Bible says that just like an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, he says, how much more does your heavenly father know how to give gifts unto you when we call out to him and cry out to him? And though God is above all and everything, he is right where we can come face to face to him every single day. And what an incredible privilege that that is. And then we see God's person in verse 18 on down to verse 24, that nothing can compare to him. And as he starts asking more questions, in verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare unto him? And the world has come up with a million different things to try to make some kind of a god that can be their god. And if you've been to other countries or seen Hindu temples, and they have thousands and thousands and millions of gods that they go, and they're just creepy and grotesque looking, many of them, as they're just trying to come up with something. He talks about here, be able to take all these gold and silver and stone and wood and try to make these idols that won't fade away, that they can bow down and worship to. And God said, there's nothing compared to me. And he said, I am the one true God, and there is none like him. And I love in verse number 21, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is almost like he's saying, don't your brains work? Don't you realize who I am? And it's almost this repetitive line after line. He says, don't your eyes and ears work? Don't you know that I'm the only one and true God? And I'm glad the Bible says in Romans 1 that it's written on our hearts that God is real, and that one day we're going to be accountable to him. The only people that would deny God biblically is a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, because the evidence is so overwhelming, because it's scientifically impossible for us to be here without God creating us. It goes against the laws of nature themselves, that matter cannot be created or destroyed. And so we know that God made us. And you look at this world and everything that God has done, and that he has a perfect plan for each and every one of our lives. We're not here by accident. And that is one of the biggest things that our young people today are bombarded with, is that you're here by mistake. You're just an accident. You just evolved from something. You don't have a plan. And we wonder why suicides and depression are so prevalent, why people turn to drugs and all these different things. So they think, well, I don't have a point of life. What is my point of even being here? And that is our goal, is to let them know that God has a plan for your life, that he loved you. He died on the cross for your sins. It didn't just stop there. He wants you to serve him with your life. And it's such a blessing to see them serving and using those gifts to the Lord tonight. And this is the God that is worthy of all our worship and glory. Verse 22 says that he sits on the circle of the earth. And all those people years ago thought the earth was flat. If they had just studied their Bible, they would have known that the earth was a sphere a long time ago. And His view of the world, as he looks down, is like we're just insects. It says grasshoppers. And then in verse 24, it says, yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be sown. Yea, their stock, they shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken unto me, or whom shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. And he said, the rulers of this world, they're nothing compared to me. The guy in North Korea that's got his giant switch he thinks that he can blow everybody up with, God says, nope, his days are numbered. There's nothing that he can't do. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And I'm so glad that everything that's happening in this world, and you know, a lot of people wondering, are we close to the end times? We probably are. I don't have to worry about it, because God's in control. Right. I don't have to worry, you know, I just got to live for Jesus. I'm looking unto Jesus, and he's going to come and bring us back when it's time. I don't have to worry about when that time is. As the one the kid said in that verse, we're supposed to occupy till he comes, compelling people to be saved until that time is up. Then in verse 25 through 28, he talks about his power, and just over and over again. And he says, we look up and we see this universe and everything that is there. There's no way that any rational person could deny that God couldn't make that. As you look and see everything that is there, he said, there's no one that can compare it to him. Is there any doubt of his power? And yet, I know, if you're like me, but a lot of times I doubt if God can do something. As we pray and when something comes up, we're like, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know. This is too big. We may not say in that way, but the way that we pray or don't pray shows that in our heart and mind. sometimes how our lack of faith of what God can do. Then after all those questions that he gives, at verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." He says, hey, don't you know who I am? So I'm the creator God. I'm the God that holds everything together. And I don't run out of strength. I don't get tired. I know everything. And I'm glad that God knows the end of the story. He's already in my tomorrow. He already knows what's going to happen to me. I don't have to worry about it. And I don't have to go through life worrying, even though so many times we do. And we get caught up in wondering, well, what if this is going to happen? It's in God's hands. This is out of my control. What if, you know, this certain situation may happen? It's out of my control. If those things are something that I can't handle, I'm just leaving it in God's hands. Let him take care of it. And God is not limited in any way. As you read that passage, it just jumps off the page that there is nothing that God cannot do. There is one time in the Bible that God is limited. Say, hold on, Brother Josh, what are you talking about? That God can't be limited. He can't. But in Psalm 78, as he's one of the longest chapters in the book of Psalms, it gives kind of the history of the nation of Israel. And if you know the history of the nation of Israel went like this, just up and down like this. They get right with God. Things are going great. They get away from God and go under judgment and they call back to God. But it says in Psalm 78, it says, because of their lack of faith, they limited the Holy One of Israel. And the idea of that wording there isn't that, you know, we can't handcuff God. We don't have to limit his power. But it was their lack of faith limited him. It almost the idea, the literal wording is they drew a line in the sand and said, God, we don't think you can do more than this in their heart and mind. But how many times in our life do we get to that point? Something happens or God wants us to do something. We go, I don't know if that's possible, God. But also, it's faithful to see that calleth you who also will do it. If God has given us something to do and he's going to help us do it. It's not our power, it's his power that we have access to. But the only time that God is limited is by our lack of faith. The things that we don't see answer prayer requests is because of our lack of faith to not pray them. The things that are going on in our life, that God is just waiting for us to trust him by faith and step out by faith and act upon that faith. God, you want me to give this extra amount this month? I don't know how that's going to work. And God says, hey, just trust me by faith. If he put that on your heart and mind, or maybe a missionary comes in, we feel led, you know, to give something above and beyond, but that doesn't necessarily fit what we can normally do. If God says, that's what I want you to do, we have to act in faith. The world says, hey, it doesn't make sense to give 10% of your income to the Lord as a tithe. That's acting in faith. It's living by faith. And God doesn't force us to submit to him. But sometimes he encourages us, like Jonah, hey, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I'm going the other way. And God helped him kind of detour back where he needed to go. But I'm so glad that we can know that God is not limited. And anything that he puts on our plate, he's going to give us the strength to handle. And not just to bear through and get through it, but to be able to overcome. The Bible says in him, we are more than conquerors. So there is no limit to what God can do. But secondly, real quickly, in this passage, that we have a great need. 11 verse 30 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And sometimes you see little kids running around, and you're like, if we could just bottle that energy, we'd be billionaires, you know, be able to sell that to people. And eventually, as you see many times, they run and run and run, and then boom, they're just out. And we were driving back with the teens yesterday, and Gracie just, she was out in the back seat. And we were driving the Stoltz's van, and she was talking, and it was quiet after that. And she hit that wall. Even the youth will run out of energy. And I feel that more and more, even though I'm not old, depending on which side you're looking from, But many times we hit those walls, we realize we can't do it on our own strength. We need God to be able to do it through us. And Luke 5, Peter, when he saw Jesus Christ and they cast their nets on the other side and they pulled those nets in that they couldn't handle all the thing that they caught. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He says, God, I know whose presence I'm in. Isaiah, when he saw the high and holy one lifted up in Isaiah 6, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. He says, hey, I don't even deserve to be in here. I can't do anything apart from God. Heard one person say, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We're ships without wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. And without the power and presence of God in our life, we're not going to make a difference for him. Because it's not our power that we can do it in. Because we're going to run out of steam. And some days it's very quick. And Psalm 40 verse 17 says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. As needy and as weak as I am, God is thinking about me. And God is the one that's going to give strength. And even though the youth are going to run out, our physical strength will run out, but not forever. And yet God is the one that gives us strength. And there's a race that takes place in New York. I don't know if they do it every year or not, but they call it the 3,100-mile race. It's almost 5,000 kilometers. That's more than I can process thinking. I'm doing good to make it, you know, 1 mile of running. And it's the world's longest race. They have a block of New York that they run from 6 a.m. to midnight. And the world record that the guy did, he did it in 41 days and some change, in a few hours with that. And he ran for 41 days for 6 a.m. to midnight for 41 days to hit 5,000 kilometers to do that race. And some people just have too much free time, I think. But eventually that guy, I'm thinking he was pretty tired and probably didn't do anything for the next month. And we run out of energy, but God does not. And we have physical limitations, and sometimes some may have more than others, but our God is not limited in what he can do through us. And as undeserving and as worthless as I am in comparison to God, he loves me, and he has a plan for my life. And that plan has to be done his way with his power, though. It can't be my way. It can't be in my strength, because it ain't going to go very far at all. And when we wait on the Lord, sometimes we can get impatient, saying, God, why can't I do this now? Or God, why can't it happen this way? Or God, why can't you fix the situation now? And God said, just keep waiting. Sometimes he allows things just to show us that we need him. Because this, I don't know about you, but I get prideful very quickly. Thinking, I got it all under control. And then this happens. I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I don't need any more help being humble. And I'll humble myself now. And God, I need you to take care of it. And he allows a situation so that we can depend on him. So God has no limit of his strength, but we're very needy. And the last part is that God wants to impart to us his strength. God doesn't hoard all that power that he has for himself. He allows us to use it to accomplish his will. Because his will is way bigger than what we could do. The plans that he has, the people that are lost in this world, are far beyond what we could come up with plans on our own. But God says, I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the resources. And verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Philippians 4:13, a verse again many of us are familiar with. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not that I can do whatever I want, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Whatever God's will is for my life, I can do it. You hear a lot of people say, I can't. No, with God's help to do his will, I can. Not my strength, not my will, but his will with his strength, we can do anything that he has for us. We can teach that class. We can work in that ministry. We can see that person saved. We can keep praying. We can keep going farther. But the way that happens is we have to pray for it. We have to ask God for that help. They that are waiting upon the Lord. And the story of some men that were hiking through a forest, and they came across this river, and they had to get to the other side. And the first guy said, God, give me the strength to go across that river. And God gave him big arms and big legs, and he was able to swim across that river, but it took him 2 hours because of the currents. The next guy said, God, please give me strength and the tools to cross that river. So then he went and he made a boat, was able to row across and made it across a little bit faster. And then the last guy said, God, please give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross the river. And God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map and found a bridge just a few miles, a little bit down the road, and made it across. And sometimes we have not because we ask not. And I'm glad that God doesn't do that, actually change us that way. But God wants to strengthen us, but he says, hey, come and ask me of it. The Bible says that he'll give us anything that we ask according to his will. What a powerful promise that God gives us multiple times in the Bible. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God says, I'm going to answer beyond what you can even pray, but we have to do our part of praying. Praying for those loved ones that we have that are lost. Praying for that child or situation that is beyond what we think it can be. Praying for that financial need that seems beyond what we could ever come up with a solution. And God wants to answer those prayers. But then as we're praying, it's not just praying again, sitting around, but it's also doing what God has for us now. Being faithful, being here in church, reading our Bible, doing those things that God has already given to us. And we can't, you know, go pray, God, I want to see more people saved, and not go try to tell anyone about Jesus. That doesn't work that way. God says, you pray, I'll give you the strength, then go do it. And then he's going to see that answer. And one commentator said, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command, doing what we know. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Sometimes the hardest thing is when we want to do something and God says, no, not yet. For me, that's the hardest because I like to do stuff. I like, you know, stay busy. And sometimes God says, nope, keep doing this other thing until I give you the green light. And those can be very difficult times to wait in that sense. But it's not doing nothing. It's doing what he's already given to us. Work while we wait for Jesus Christ to come. And I'm glad we don't have to just sit around and think, okay, God, just take us home. We don't have anything left to do. There's a lot left to do. The story of a gardener in northern Italy, and a visitor was coming and seeing the grounds of this beautiful garden. And the visitor, as he talked with the gardener, he said, this is such an incredible, beautiful gardens. And he says, oh, by the way, when was the last time that the owner was here? And the gardener said, oh, about 10 years ago. He said, why do you keep the gardens in such an immaculate condition? He said, because I'm expecting him to return. Was he coming next week? He says, I don't know when he's coming, but I'm expecting him today. And Jesus Christ could come back tonight. He could come back before I finish the sermon. Some people might say amen to that. And but are we living and ready to meet him with our next breath? If we live that way, as the Bible commands us to, looking unto him, it'll change the way we do some things. Sometimes we think, ah, it's not a big deal. You know, I'll take care of that later. Or I'll put off the guilt for now. You know, ask God to forgive me later, whatever it may be. Or God's had this for me. I'll get to that one day. A lot of young people saying, well, I'll serve God one day. So serve God now because we're not guaranteed another moment. Our life is here and gone as a vapor. And if we're not sure of that next step, just keep doing what we know to do. Just keep staying faithful. And then the last part of it is just keep having patience and keep going. And sometimes we don't feel like we have the strength to keep going on. Verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Some days are running days. We feel like, man, we're 100%. Man, I read my Bible, and it just jumped off the page to me today. Man, I can pray for a long time without being distracted. And some days, it's like the coffee pot breaks. You know, the kids are screaming or whatever, and it's like it's going to be a walking day. It ain't going to be a running full speed day or whatever it may be. And but just keep moving forward. See, we're moving closer to God or we're moving farther away. The key is just to keep moving. But God promises that if we'll wait on him, he's going to renew our strength. It's a promise that we can have from God that he gives us here. And that renewing is almost like the picture of a plant. And I'm not a gardener by any stretch of the imagination, or not really a desire to. But my wife, she likes plants and things like that. She had two plants we brought in our move that got left in our car and kind of froze on our stop on the way. So I think she's going to try to bring them back to life. I don't know. But you picture a plant that is drooping, that is wilting, and you give it some more water, you put it out in the sun, and if it's still healthy over time, what's it going to do? It's going to perk back up, and the flowers are going to bloom again. Sometimes we're drooping, saying, God, I need some more strength. And God gives that energy again to keep doing what he's given us to do. Then it says, to mount up with wings as eagles. And eagles are incredible creatures. When you study and think about some of the things they can do, and they learn to fly by getting pushed out of the nest. And I know sometimes parents that get ready, all right, when I'm ready to push them out of the nest, you know, and my parents have been empty nesters, you know, for the last few years. I think they're enjoying that. And but they learn to fly when they get pushed out, when they're ready. But they do a lot of their flying on air currents. They fly very high up. They catch those currents, like with those hang gliders and things like that. They catch those currents and keep going. They very rarely actually flap their wings. They wear out very quickly when they do. And they're just floating along on those wings. And they can even thrive with stormy weather because they just soar over them. There's a lot of wind currents, and they just shoot right over those storms, and it don't bother them at all. They're just way up in the air where those things are above it. And as they're waiting on the Lord, it's a picture of that eagle, because it's understanding that it's his timing, not ours. Sometimes we don't feel ready, and God says, nope, it's time to get out of the nest. It's time to take that next step. It's time to act in faith in this area. And we just got to say, okay, ready or not, here we come. And then we also have to wait and watch for his prompting, because sometimes, some days, we feel like we're just flapping as hard as we can, and we ain't getting anywhere. And God says, hey, just trust me. I'm going to put you right here, and I'm going to be the one that's going to take you up. And then in those stormy times, God allows us to draw closer to him, Think about Job. He says at the end of it, he says he came forth as gold. God brought him right where he needed to be. And awaiting is rarely an easy thing to do. But God said it's worth it. As we wait on him, no matter what we're going through in life, sometimes we may be, coasting where everything seems great. But those times are coming. We're going to have to learn again to remember to wait on the Lord, to remember that he's got the strength that we need. We have the need. We have the great need of him in every sense of the imagination. But he wants us to have access to his strength. We don't have to go through life on our own strength and power, but with his strength and power to accomplish what he has for us, because his will is far beyond what we could do in our own strength. As a church, to reach this community is beyond what we can do in our own human strength. It's going to take the power of God working in our lives. And there's a lot of things coming up. We're excited about some of the things that are taking place and the opportunities for outreach and to be a light again and continue in this community. But it ain't going to happen in my strength. It's not going to happen in your strength. It's going to happen as we trust God and pray big prayers and say, God, we want to see you do more this year in our lives. We want to see you do more this year in our church, and allowing God to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he's going to be the one that's going to do it. He's going to use us to do it. We have to step out in faith and be willing to let him use us. But he's going to take care of the results. And I'm so glad it's not in my hands, but it's in his. And allow God to continue seeing great things as we keep waiting on him. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. And God, we thank you that we can trust in you, that we can rest in your arms. And even though we know it's not an idle waiting, and Lord, you've given us exactly in your word what we're supposed to do. But Lord, as you lead and guide in different areas, and there may be some tonight that are waiting for some answers from some different things or some direction of life or some answers to some questions they've been asking, Lord, that you would help us to continue waiting on you, not trying to go through life in our own strength, but trusting in you to give us the strength that we need. God, we thank you again for the promises of your word that you give us, that we can know that you will help us to be more than conquerors through you, that we can see this world change by the power of the gospel of Christ, but we can't do it in our own strength. And God, we humbly acknowledge that tonight. You can help us every single day to trust you and to let you do that through us. And God, we thank you again for these young people tonight and them being able to serve you and to sing praises to you, and that you continue to use them, and they will all continue to draw closer to you over the months and years to come. And God, we thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.